Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 1, Chapter entitled The First Step in God Realization, text number 23. Sri Shuka Uvacha.
Sri Shuka Uvacha.
Jitasano Jitashwaso.
Jitasano Jitashwaso.
Jitasango Jitendriya.
Jitasango Jitendriya.
Stule Bhagavato Rupe.
Stule Bhagavato Rupe.
Manasandariyetiya.
Manasandariyetiya.
Jitasano Jitashwaso.
Jitasano Jitashwaso.
Jitasango Jitendriya.
Jitasango Jitendriya.
Stule Bhagavato Rupe.
Stule Bhagavato Rupe.
Manasandarayetiya.
Manasandarayetiya.
Sri Shuka Uvacha.
Sri Shuka Uvacha.
Shukadeva Goswami said.
Jitasana.
Controlled sitting posture.
Jitashwasa.
Controlled breathing process.
Jitasanga.
Controlled association.
Jita
Indriya. Controlled senses. Stule. In the gross matter. Bhagavata. Unto the personality of Godhead. Rupai.
In the feature of.
Mana.
The mind.
Sandariyat.
Must apply.
Diya.
By intelligence.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Shukadeva Goswami answered, one should control the sitting posture, regulate the breathing process by the yogic pranayama, and thus control the mind and senses with the intelligence. Apply the mind to the gross potencies of the Lord called the Virat Rupa. Translation responsibly. Shukadeva Goswami answered. One should control the sitting posture. Regulate the breathing process. By the yogic pranayama.
By the yogic pranayama.
And thus control the mind and senses.
And thus control the mind and senses.
And with intelligence.
And with intelligence.
Apply the mind to the gross potencies of the Lord.
Called the Virat Rupa.
Purport. The materially absorbed mind of the conditioned soul does not allow him to transcend the limit of the bodily conception of self, and thus the yoga system is for meditation. And thus the yoga system for meditation, controlling the sitting posture and breathing process, and fixing the mind upon the supreme, is prescribed in order to mold the character of the gross materialist. Unless such materialists are able to cleanse the materially absorbed mind, it is impossible for them to concentrate upon thoughts of transcendence. And to do so, one may fix one's mind on the gross material or external feature of the Lord. The different parts of the gigantic form of the Lord are described in the following verses. The materialistic men are very anxious to have some mystic powers as a result of such a controlling process. But the real purpose of yogic regulations is to eradicate the accumulated dirty things like lust, anger, avarice, and all such material contaminations. If the mystic yogi is diverted by the accompanying feats of mystic control, then his mission of yogic success is a failure, because the ultimate aim is God realization. He is therefore recommended to fix his gross materialistic mind by a different conception, and thus realize the potency of the Lord. As soon as the potencies are understood to be instrumental manifestations of the transcendence, one automatically advances to the next step, and gradually the stage of full realization becomes possible for him. Omagyan Tibetan Gashya Ginanjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militamyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vansha Kalpata Rupyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is the first chapter of the second canto. So the topic is the process of God realization, or the first step in God realization. So the first step in God realization, according to this section of the Bhagavatam, is realization of the Virat Rupa. What is the Virat Rupa?
Universal form.
Universal form, yeah. So it means seeing God in creation. There isn't actually a universal form. It's superimposed by the mind. It's not that Krishna is, you know, in that form like that, but it's superimposed. It's a way of people, as the Bhagavatam is describing, who are materialistic. It's a way of them to perceive God within the creation. So you'll see in the rest of the chapter, it will describe the different ways that we can see Krishna in the creation. Just like, what is the ocean? If you're looking at the Virat Rupa, then how do you see the ocean? If you go down to the beach now and you see the ocean, he's navel. So that is, that whole ocean, that whole body of water is just sitting in the navel of the Lord. So what are the trees? His hairs, like the hairs, like that. We have hairs in our body, so the trees are the hairs of the Lord on his body. So, and then you can see the sun. What is the sun? His eyes, like that. The sun, the moon, they're the eyes, like that. So it's a way of superimposing the Lord, or seeing the Lord through the creation. But still, it's actually the beginning of God realization. And you could say that these days, just to see God within creation or nature, then that's the beginning of realization of God, like that. If we can at least get people to accept that God is present in his creation, that's the beginning of realization. You know, don't cut down the trees unnecessarily. Just like these days, they cut down the trees. So many trees are cut. So what is the main purpose of the trees being cut? What do they use the...
Paper.
They make pulp. 90% of it is pulp, which then turns into paper. And most of the paper is garbage. Right. Then you look at the magazines, you go into the news agents, and you just look at all that paper, all those trees which have been decimated for that paper. It's all useless. We don't need any of it. You know, you can keep probably 5 or 6 of those magazines, probably. You know, there's probably some, you know, good ones about gardening and, you know, a few other things, but the rest of them are just unnecessary. So if we can at least get people to appreciate that they should protect God's creation, then this is beginning of understanding. It's like Virat Rupa. realization. It's the beginning of God realization. Don't destroy God's creation. Don't pollute the water. Don't pollute the land, the earth, like that. So it's the beginning of God realization. So this is the beginning, but it's not a high level of realization. It's just the beginning. So here it is being said, what is the purpose of this realization? What is the purpose of any God realization? What is the purpose of any yogic process? Because if you look in the last verse, Parikshit Maharaj says, how do we control the mind? This is a pertinent question to anyone here in the audience today. Does anyone need instruction on how to control the mind? Wow. We have to control the mind. It is the worst enemy or the best friend. You have to make it the friend. How does it become the best friend? When it is attracted to Krishna. Because what does the mind do? It has two functions. It accepts and it rejects. So when it is into Krishna or absorbed in Krishna, it is the best friend. When the mind is enthusiastic, just like what happens on Saturday this week? Julan Yatra. What is the purpose of these festivals? We are meant to absorb our mind in Krishna. This is my favorite festival of the whole year. Julan, where Radha and Krishna will come and they will swing. And all of us are allowed to swing them. What is the good fortune? This is supreme good fortune. So this is an opportunity to absorb our mind in Krishna. Because you can think, okay, there's Radha and Krishna, they're on the swing. Here are all the devotees in this temple room. Right, at that. But you may not be seeing it as it actually is taking place. In the spiritual world, when Radha and Krishna, there are different types of swings, but one of the swings, it is shaped like a lotus flower. You see lotus flowers everywhere in this temple. So it's shaped like a lotus. And Radha and Krishna, they sit opposite each other. Sometimes in the playground, there's the swings where the kids can sit opposite each other. Like that. So they sit opposite each other. And then on the eight petals of the lotus, the Ashtasakis, they sit, and everyone is sitting on this lotus swing. And then all the Manjaris and the Sakis, they all begin to swing the swing, like that. And the swing can go in all different directions. It can go back and forward, it can go around. Just like you'll see if you go to Luna Park, probably not Luna Park, but if you go to some of the theme parks around the world, you'll see all these rides. They go around and things like that. It's all coming from the spiritual world. There's nothing here which is not there. Radha and Krishna already have it. They already had these lotus swings which whirl around. It's all there in the spiritual world. It's already been done. This is just chewing the chewed. You want to get the same effect, you have to motorize the whole thing, right? Mechanical, the whole thing's mechanical like that. A lot of noise involved. You can't even hear each other when you're on the ride. Right? What did you say? I'm freaking out. What? You can't even hear each other. But on the lotus swing, no pollution, no excess, unnecessary noise. This is perfection in God's creation. When Krishna does it, it is perfect. So everyone is swinging on the swing. And sometimes, if you go to Radha Kund, there used to be, unfortunately, there was a tree in Radha Kund when I first started going there about 20 years ago. There was a tree, and the tree had like a twisted branch. Like high up on the tree, there's a branch, and the branch was like twisting like that. And the tree is not there anymore. One time, Radha and Krishna, there are many Julan pastimes, Julan Yatra. Yatra means festival. If Radha and Krishna get on a swing, it's a festival. Every time they get on a swing, it's a festival. Just everything manifests for them. Everything in the spiritual world is a festival. Every time Krishna takes one step, it's a festival. It's not ordinary. So, Radha and Krishna are on the swing, and they're swinging very high, going up and down. And Krishna was pushing every time they come down, and Krishna would push his legs and make them go higher. And Radharani was getting scared. So she was holding on very tightly to Krishna. And she was beginning to become really scared because Krishna's going like, and then he goes like this, and it was going faster and faster, and then finally Krishna kicked his legs and went and it just went. But right around, she was screaming, holding on to Krishna. I'm so scared. And could swing down. And then finally it just stopped, just on top of the tree. You know, it had gone around and around, wrapped around the branches. And you used to see that tree when you went to Radhakrishna. The tree, the branches were there, and all the branches were there. And Radhakrishna performed that pastime. So in the spiritual world, there's unlimited pleasure. The whole point of the yogic process, including bhakti yoga, because we're practicing yoga, what we're doing is yoga. The whole purpose of this bhakti yoga process is to control the mind. What is Krishna's final instruction in Gita? Amamana bhava madbhakto. Control your mind. Or think of me. Krishna gives a positive injunction. Krishna doesn't give negative injunction. The final thing he doesn't say to Arjuna in the Gita is control your mind, Arjuna. That's not his final instruction. His final instruction is always think of me. It's positive. Right? He doesn't give Arjuna the negative instruction. He gives the positive instruction. Right? Always think of you. Because if you're always thinking of Krishna, then your mind is your best friend. It's under control. Otherwise, it's your worst enemy. And we all know that because we deal with it every day. It's the worst enemy. You don't need anything external to happen wrong in your life. Right? You've got enough problems just dealing with what's going on in here. Right? There's enough for everyone to deal with. You know, we only need 10 or 15 centimeters to keep us fully occupied. Right? It's all just here. Whatever's going on here, that's enough to keep everyone completely busy. Like that. So, it doesn't have to be so difficult. That's the whole process of the bhakti process. If you absorb your mind in Krishna, right, then your mind will become very peaceful. You will become satisfied. This is the point. So this is the bhakti yoga process. So we have to become absorbed in Krishna. Just like Jualan Yatra is coming on Saturday, so we have to absorb our mind, right, in anticipation. Waiting for the festival, we should feel enthusiastic. We can't wait, right, to go and swing Radha and Krishna. Right? It is the perfection of our existence. So in this way, our mind becomes absorbed and peaceful and satisfied and blissful, filled with ananda. So this is the process. So if you don't control your mind becomes a great enemy. Krishna says in the Gita, it becomes the worst enemy. It gives you the worst problems. Like that. So then, Shukadeva Goswami is saying, so what do we do? How do we control the mind? What is the process of controlling the mind? So now, Shukadeva Goswami says to Parikshit Maharaj, okay, meditate on the universal form. So he's going to give different levels of God realization. This is not for us. This is not for the bhakti yogis. He's not telling us to meditate on the Virat Rupa. Right, when we're chanting our japa, we're not meditating, you know, on the ocean being the navel and, you know, and the hairs on the body being the trees. And we're not meditating like that. But we see like that. We see like that. We see everything is part of Krishna, part of his creation, his energy. Everything reminds us of Krishna. In the Gita, Krishna says, "The bodies of water, I am the ocean." The ocean is, it's unlimited, it's vast, it's powerful. Especially when you're in the middle of it. Yeah, you don't perceive it so much when you're safe on the shore, but when you're out there in the middle, it's impressive. Right? It's potent how vast it is. When you're flying over to India or something like that, and you look out and you see the ocean, it just spreads. You know, if you go down in the ocean, then, you know, it's scary. Or if you go on the Spirit of Tasmania, across to Tasmania, a few times I've been on the boat, and then you go out on the deck, and all you see is just water, that's it. You know, they had to turn the boat around a few years ago because the waves were so big, and they were smashing the boat so heavily, they just had to turn the boat around and send it back to Melbourne. You know, when you're out there in the middle of the ocean, it's powerful. Like that. So this is Krishna. So we see Krishna like that. We don't meditate on the ocean all the time. You know, it's like it's not our meditation. We meditate on Krishna. That's what we're trying to meditate on. But we see Krishna in his energy. So it's the beginning of God realization. So the point is that we have to control our mind. That is the yogic process. So there are yogic principles which are given to us here. And these same yogic principles, they are applicable to the bhakti yogi, because we are yogis. What is the motto of urban yoga? What is the motto of our yoga center? Do you go to urban yoga? You go there? On Saturday, okay. Like everyone goes there, we don't even know what the motto is. What is the motto of urban? I don't even go there, I know what the motto is. What's the motto? What's that? Very good. That's the motto of ISKCON. Very good. You're right. But it's the right motto, it's the wrong place. Yeah, in all circumstances, be a yogi. That's the motto. We are yogis. That's what we're doing. This is yoga. We are bhakti yogis. We're practicing yoga. But this is the topmost yoga system. Krishna consciousness is the topmost yoga. Prabhupada wrote a book. Krishna consciousness, the topmost yoga system. Last verse in the sixth chapter of the Gita, what does Krishna say? Yeah, of all the yogis, the devotee is this is the highest yoga. So we are practicing yoga. So these principles, even though we're not meditating on Virat Rupa, they are applicable to us. So what are the principles? It's very nice. Yeah? The key. What is the key word in the verse? Huh? In this particular Sanskrit verse, what is the key word which keeps being repeated?
Jitta.
Huh? And jitta. What does jitta mean?
Senses.
Jitta. Yeah, to win over. Yeah. What does jitta mean? Jitta. Jit. 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 Jit's mother rings up all the time. Jip, jip, jip. Pick up the phone, she goes, jip, jip. Okay. Get jit. So what is jit? Jit and jitta. It means to conquer. To conquer. To win over. Jitta. Like that. So this is the principal word in this verse. So we're trying to win over or trying to conquer certain things. So in this verse, Shukadeva Goswami is giving the advice. He says, first of all, jitta asana means controlled, Prabhupada says, controlled sitting posture. Okay, everyone control your sitting posture. You listen to the japa tape you play in the morning, Prabhupada is chanting, right? And it's on a reel, keeps repeating itself. So every 10 minutes or 7 minutes, Prabhupada says, sit properly. Sit properly. Sit properly. Why? Because we're in like a half Padmarasana, like this. Why do you sit like this? Because when you sit like this, the mind in yoga, it becomes focused. Because this posture harnesses the energies of the body and focuses the mind. That's why we sit like this. You see, as soon as you change your posture, right? As soon as you sit differently, like you sit like casually or something like that, the mind, it doesn't have the same focus. You'll see, practically speaking. That's why we sit like this. Right? Because it allows you to concentrate. Right? And the spine must be erect. And you must sit with an erect spine. Right? Because then the mind is focused. Right? You see devotees, when they start falling asleep in class, right, the spine begins to curve. Like that. So then the mind is losing focus. So you have to keep focus. Right. So it says, jitta asana, control your sitting posture. Also, it's recommended you don't lean on something. Right. You don't sit with your back on something. You can, but you run the risk that you may begin to not off or fall asleep. Krishna speaks about this in the 6th chapter of the Gita, Dhyana Yoga. He says, sit with the back straight, right? And then he says, focus the vision, half close the eyes, right? So you don't fall asleep. Like that. These are yogic principles. Can be helpful. If you chant your japa, a lot of the time when we chant the japa, we do have the eyes closed. And that is okay, but you have to make sure you're not falling asleep. If you're falling asleep, then, you know, follow some different yogic principles or do something different or adjust yourself. Don't sleep during the japa. Japa is our most important item of sadhana. So don't sleep during your japa. You know, if you're falling asleep, stand up or open your eyes or sit properly or breathe more deeply or sprinkle water on your face or whatever is necessary like that. But don't fall asleep. So it says here, jitta asana, control. So this is, jitta means to conquer, it means to overcome, to win over, or it means to control. Right? If you want to make advancement in spiritual life, you have to learn control, self-control. In other words, you have to learn discipline. Right? In English, we have this word, disciple. What does disciple mean? What is that?
One who is disciplined.
One who is disciplined? Is that what you said?
Disciplined.
Disciplined. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, a disciple means one who is disciplined. Or one who is shishya, or in English we say disciple, means one who practices discipline. So Prabhupada says that the disciple must be disciplined. You have to learn control. Right? If you want to advance in Krishna consciousness, you have to learn to control yourself. Then you advance. Instead of letting your mind control you or your senses control you, you have to have control. That's when you begin to advance. So this is the yogic principle. Jitta means control. So control the way you sit. Then it says, control jitta shwasa. Control your breathing process. What does this mean? Yeah, regulating your breathing. We have to control our breathing process. What does that mean for us? We don't do so much pranayama. That's not our process. You know, we don't sit down and control. We don't concentrate on that. You know, when we're chanting a japa, we don't like, you know, okay, two mantras while the breath is coming in, two mantras while. We don't concentrate like that. But by practicing a healthy yogic lifestyle, your breathing will come under control. If you're unhealthy, and this is why it is a yogic principle, that's why in yoga, what is the beginning of the process? Right? It is yama. If you look at the Ashtanga system, it is yama and niyama. Right? And then there's asana. Asana is about the body. Next is pranayama. Pranayama means the breathing. Right? So the principle is, in yoga, in the yogic system, is you have to keep the body healthy. So devotees, we have to keep the body healthy. So devotees should do some exercise. Prabhupada said, you should dance in kirtan. Right? You dance in kirtan, you've just exercised your body. Right? And then devotees can do extra things. They can do some, just like I'm just getting a book. I went away recently to stay with a friend, a devotee, and he had a book from a guy in America called Mark Lauren, and he's a special, our equivalent of our SAS or our Special Air Services in America, like the top military guys in America, like the Black Seals, the Marines, like the real crack guys. He trains them. That's what he does. So he's got a book which I saw when I was there. My devotee friend had it. And it's just about using your body, the muscles in your body, by doing various exercises, just using the weight of your body to increase the strength in your body. Very good book. Like that. So I've ordered it from America. I tried to get it in Australia. I couldn't get it, so I've ordered it like that. So the point is, we have to look after our body. The body has to be strong, right? If you look at a a very good example in my mind of a very balanced devotee, especially in this day and age, is His Holiness Bandaraswami. You see Bandaraswami? Like, he is strong. You know why he's so strong? He goes to the gym. He does. He goes to the gym. He lives in Chennai. He goes to the gym several times. And you look at him, his body is like strong. He's 60 plus. You know, his hair is black. You know, he's a Naishika Brahmachari. I mean, he's not even from this world. Bandaraswami is not from this world. He's like, you know, his brain is fertile. He's an incredible living entity. Yeah, he's come from a higher place. You know, they're in Kolkata. It might have been 72, around about 1972. Prabhupada brought about 40 devotees from the West. He's dancing white elephants. You know, when Prabhupada first brought the devotees. And they're in Kolkata. And every devotee got sick. You know, all of Prabhupada's Western disciples, about 40 of them. You know, Bhavananda Prabhu, Jayapataka Swami, Tamal Krishnamurti, Guru Rajamurti, everyone was sick. There's one person who wasn't sick. Right? Bandaraswami. The only one who didn't get sick. And why wasn't he sick? Right? Because he's Naishtika. He's never passed his semen. Naishtika, Brahmachari. And Prabhupada said, because everyone was sick except him, and Prabhupada looked at him and Prabhupada said, Naishtika. So powerful. You know, he's powerful. But you look at his body is strong. He looks after his body. He's not just, you know, translating books, you know, 24 hours a day. You know, he's not just doing, you know, hearing and chanting 24 hours a day. He's also looking after himself. He spends time. He goes to the gym. You know, if you ever serve him prasadam, he doesn't eat very much. You know, he's minimal. Like that. Always eats healthy and light. Like that. He's in very, so this is, in my mind, is the example of a very balanced Vaishnava for Kali Yuga. You need to spend time looking after the body. You need to spend time looking after the mind. You need to spend time looking after the soul. It has to be a balance. You can't just, you know, sometimes devotees become imbalanced and they just focus on one thing. Like I just do just devotional service. But part of devotional service is maintaining the body and the mind. Right? Like sleep. You have to sleep properly. You have to sleep enough. Right? This is all part of the yogic process. So here it is saying that you have to get control of your breathing process. So devotees, how do we get control of our breathing process? You have to get the body healthy. If the body is healthy, the breathing automatically slows down. You see someone who is unhealthy, who is overweight and unhealthy, right? The breathing is... don't have control of the breathing process. And therefore the breathing process is going too quickly. And what is happening? You're reducing your life, right? You're reducing your health, like that. And it's difficult to practice Krishna consciousness. It's interesting because if you read Prabhupada's letters, right? How many letters are there by Srila Prabhupada?
7,400.
What's that?
7,400.
Yeah, I think that's about right. About 7,400. So it's about 7,400 letters, right? And then at the end of every letter, what does Prabhupada write? Your ever well wisher, very good. But he writes, there's one other thing he writes as well. Signs off every letter. I hope this meets you in good health. Right, that's our founder Acharya. I hope this meets you in good health. Prabhupada said to Dhananjaya Prabhu, health first, then Krishna consciousness. How can you practice Krishna consciousness if you're not healthy? What's it like trying to chant your japa when you're sick? Right, it's not easy. Like that. So you have to look after it. So it's saying here, this is the basic yogic principle. So when you're young as a devotee, right, it's not so difficult, because as you become older, you have to become more concerned about the maintenance program. Right? When you get to 35, you kind of peak. Then after that, it's downhill. It's just a matter of how rapidly you go downhill. That's all it is. You know, I'm just trying to slow it down a bit. You know, as you're going down here, you just have to like put the brakes on a little bit. So it doesn't like degenerate too quickly. But it starts to degenerate. Like in the last 12 months, my eyesight's begin to degenerate. And I'm like, what's going on? I thought the machine was working. And it stops working. And it's like, oh. Then this starts happening, that starts happening. So this is the system. Lots to look forward to. It's all good from here on in. Okay, so what else do we have to have control of? Right? Jitta asana, jitta swasha, control our breathing, control our sitting. Jitta sangha. What is jitta sangha? Prabhupada says, controlled association. This is one of the most important things. If you want to practice spiritual life, you have to control who you associate with. So Lord Chaitanya says, asat sangha, tyaga, e vaishnava acha. Right? Give up materialistic association. So we do. We don't associate with the non-devotees so much, except for giving them Krishna consciousness. That's how we associate with them, to give them Krishna consciousness, not to take their association. But these days, the association is much more insidious, and it's much more broad, and it's much more infiltrating, because everyone has computers. Right? And it's a big waste of time, you know, how much time we can spend on the internet. Right? So Maya will come to us. You know, when I was a brahmachari, you know, living in the ashram, hey, little girl in the corner, what is your name? Are you being quiet? You have to be a little bit quiet, okay? After class then you can play, but just be a little bit quiet now. Okay. So, when I was a brahmachari, there were no computers. Right? And that was a big asset. They came in about 1995, 96, like that, just near the end of my brahmacharya. This destroyed my ashram. It didn't really. I didn't have a computer. So. But they just came in. And then then everyone had automatic access to the internet. As soon as you turn it on, just, right? It tries to draw you in. Right? Same as mobile phones. We never used to have mobile phones. Right? Now everyone's got it. Everyone's just wasting so much time. You see all the modern generation spending so much time on their phones. Every time you look at them, it's just like, you know, how are you? I am good. What are you doing? Nothing. Like, who really cares? I don't even know how to use my phone. I've got a phone. I don't even know how to use it. I can't even see it. I mean, I've learned how to, like, our Tarini Rupa, she sent me a text last night, and I wrote back okay on the text, because I don't even know how to write words. So I just wrote okay, and I just sent it. So don't waste time. And we said this last week, or the week before I was giving class. Prabhupada said, don't waste time. This is all Maya, right? It's Jitta Sangha. Control your association. In Mayapur, They had to take all the mobile phones off the brahmacharis. Now, there's a couple of hundred brahmacharis living in Mayapur. They had to take all the mobile phones. Because many of the brahmacharis, because they preach there in Mayapur, like all the people come into the campus and they set up book tables. But many of the brahmacharis were taking phone numbers of the girls who were visiting. They were supposed to be preaching, but they were taking phone numbers of the girls. So then when the management found out, They confiscated all the mobile phones for the brahmacharis. No one's allowed to have mobile phones except the managers, like the top guys. But the rest of them had to get rid of them. Right? So that's why it's saying here. Jitta Sangha, control your association. This is all very dangerous stuff. This is the, as Prabhupada describes, spiritual life is a razor's edge. You can use the mobile phone for good things. You can use the internet for good things, for spreading Krishna consciousness, but it can also destroy your Krishna consciousness very quickly. So that's why everything in spiritual life, that's why it says here, you have to have control. Right? You have to have control of yourself. Otherwise it just takes you away. Even on the internet, I hardly even look on the news when I log on. I hardly look at the news. Once in a while I'll have a look, but you know, once in a while I'll listen to the radio just to find out what's going on. But most of the stuff you just learn. You know, there's something really going on, people will tell you. Actually, all the important stuff, you'll actually hear about it. You don't have to worry about, you know, following it all the time. Because then it becomes justified. Oh, I need a TV because I have to watch the news every night. And then after the news, then there's, oh, that show's not so bad, and then that show's not so bad, and then it just, then that's it. Your whole spiritual life becomes destroyed. So it says here, they control your sangha. But now in Kali Yuga, it's a lot more insidious, it's a lot more infiltrating, and it's a lot easier to get into Maya than it was previously. You know, you had to work harder to get into Maya in the old days. You don't have to work so hard these days. You know, in Japan, you know, there's a problem in Japan because now the video games and the internet and everything, they're seeing a report, and there's one, they're showing, you know, it's a problem, but there's one kid, he lives in his parents' house, they've got an apartment in Japan, and he's in his room, and the parents have not seen him for 4 years. Right? And he's just got like a slit in the bottom of the door where they pass food through, and that's it. He's been in there for 4 years. They haven't seen him. And he's just on the computer all the time. Just destroys the fiber of humanity. I mean, that was the extreme example. But there are many examples. They haven't seen the kids for 6 or 12 months. And they're living in the same house. You know, this is the way that Maya is so much more insidious now. We have to be careful now. Now in Kali Yuga, you have to be very careful. You have to be on guard continuously, protecting your bhakti. Right? If you get time, read Prabhupada's books. You know, I'm trying to get myself, I mean, I've always read Prabhupada's books, but I'm trying to focus even more on that at the moment. If I get time, I just read Prabhupada's books. You know, every day, Prabhupada said 1 hour, 2 hours, like that. Just make it a habit, and it lifts your consciousness. So you can remember Krishna. So then, Jitasanga, next one is Jitendriya. What does it mean? Jitendriya. Indriya means the senses. Jita means you have to have control of the senses. You have to control your eyes. You have to control your tongue. You have to control your ears. You have to control your sense of touch. You have to control your sense of smell. And the other senses, the genitals, the rectum, the arms, the legs, and the speech. Like that. So, you have to control. And of all these things, what is the hardest to control? The tongue. Hard to control what you eat. Hard to control when you eat. Hard to control how much you eat. And hard to control. Yeah, to speak. It's hard to control. Some people just like to speak all the time. They don't stop. Even some devotees, they speak all the time. It's like, you know, I wish I just had a turn-off button. And just yeah, so, I mean, I really like some of these devotees, but they just don't stop speaking. Sometimes it's like, just turn off for a little bit, you know. Like that. So the urge to speak, you have to control it. In other words, you have to, and Prabhupada says this in the Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami, and the principal example is of, in the Bhagavatam, is of Ambarish Maharaj. He was using all of his senses in the service of Krishna. So if you're going to speak, make sure it's related to Krishna as much as possible. And if you're going to eat, eat something which is offered to Krishna. The best thing to eat is Mahaprasad. Of course, you can't always eat so much of this. It's very rich and heavy, but it's very potent. But we should eat prasad, food which is offered to Krishna. And this will purify. And if you get control of the tongue, then it's much easier to control everything else. You'll see that in spiritual life. It's directly related. That's why it is mentioned. If you get control of the tongue, everything else becomes a lot easier. You can control the eyes, you can control the sense of touch, you know, all the other senses become a lot easier to deal with. But when the tongue's out of control, it becomes very difficult to control the other senses. So all of us have to be Jitendriya. There's only one Jitendriya in this temple, and we have to be his servant. And by his mercy, we'll also become Jitendriya Das. Controllers of our senses, like that. So, then it says, stule, gross matter. You're dealing with gross matter. And then, finally, the final word in the verse is dia. Dia means intelligence. So does buddhi. And Krishna says in the third chapter of the Gita, because Arjuna says the same thing, more or less. He says, you know, it's very difficult to control myself, Krishna. There's like an unseen force, which is very powerful, which sometimes makes me do things I don't even want to do. Krishna says, Arjuna says, what is that? Krishna says, karma, esha, krodha. He says, that is lust, born of passion. And then, finally, how does he say to control it? He said, you have to have strong intelligence. And how does the intelligence become strong? You have to hear constantly. That's why we have to hear the Bhagavatam class. Right? Bhagavatam class is like doing push-ups. It becomes strong. You see Bhanu Swami's body, right? Because he's pushing, then its body is strong. But then you look at his mind and intelligence, you know, look at the push-ups he's doing on that level. Yeah, his intelligence is just like phenomenal. Phenomenal intelligence. You know, I walk into his room and I just feel like I'm just like a little ant. I just walk in, his intelligence is so vast, so broad, so deep. It's incredible. So where does this come from? Because he's absorbed in Shastra. So we have to absorb ourselves by hearing about Krishna, by reading Prabhupada's books, by hearing the Bhagavatam class regularly, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, then your intelligence becomes strong. And when your intelligence is strong, then you can control the mind. The mind goes off and you learn how to deal with it much easier. The mind starts giving you problems, you say, hey, come on, just get back over. Control yourself. It's like being a parent. When you have kids, a good parent that can control the kids. Need a bit of discipline. If the kids aren't disciplined, they develop bad character. My mother, she was such a good parent. My father was such good parents. As soon as we stepped out of line, just like, hey, back. And then just, okay. Well, that's all. I was a very well-behaved child. So. My brother, he's different. Like, different to me. Different personality. But I hope he doesn't listen to these lectures. He used to get his bike. He's 2 years old. You know, like they had those little plastic bikes kids ride around. He used to get that and climb the fence, like 6 foot high fence, throw the bike over and then jump over the fence. He's only 2 years old and then just take off down the road. Very hard to control. Even now he's like that. Just like that. A lot of energy. Like that. But my parents, when they were strict to me, they immediately brought me under control. And that's good. Right? And that's how we have to deal with our mind. Right? When your mind takes off, your intelligence has to say, hey, back. Right? Listen now. Right? So that's how you have to do it. And that comes when the intelligence is strong. And how does the intelligence become strong? By hearing about Krishna. So here, we're learning about the yogic principles, and we can apply all of these yogic principles in devotional service, because we are yogis. In all circumstances, be a yogi. It's on our t-shirt that we wear when we go to urban yoga. Right? In all circumstances, be a yogi. So this is our principle. Right? Practice yoga, but the topmost yoga, which is bhakti yoga. So we'll stop here and we'll see if there are any questions or comments on what we have discussed. Any other questions? Prabhupada said if there's no questions, it means everyone agrees. He also said if there's no questions, he also said another time, he said it means you're not reading enough. He said that he stopped at the end of his lecture, he said, any questions? No one put their hand up. And Prabhupada says, this means you're not reading enough, because if you're reading, you will have questions. Or it means that you just agree. You agree with it. Nothing to question. Any questions? How did I come to Krishna consciousness? Yeah, I haven't got time to speak about that now. That's not a 2 minute answer. That's not. Yeah, it takes 5 or 10 minutes or more. I haven't got time. I'll tell you another time.
And the verse it says, Sthule Bhagavato Rupe, which directly points to as Bhagavan. But in the translation it is called Virata Rupa. So how do we compensate for that? I mean, how do we understand this in terms of an impersonal, pantheistic understanding, when it directly Sthule Bhagavato Rupe is being mentioned?
Yeah, in the feature of. It says Sthule means gross matter. Bhagavan means God, Krishna. Sthule means in gross matter. Rupe means he's taken the form of gross matter. So it's already explained. I explained in the beginning of the class, and it's explained in this section. It's an artificially imposed form. The form's not actually there. It's just a mental, imaginative form. It's a way we can see God in nature, but he's not actually there. So it's God in matter. But God's not actually in matter, but it's just a way of seeing. Nice question. Please come again. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki.